Ecclesiastes 3, verse 7. There's a time to tear and a time to sow. There is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. And in James chapter 3, verses 3 through 12, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, straining and staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond produce fresh water. I think I'm going to mention a name that'll be familiar with some of the older generation, but to the younger ones, let me just say that this person, Gypsy Smith, was an illustrious and powerful British evangelist. Rodney Gypsy Smith, born in 1860, died in 1947, was born in a tent in a gypsy camp. He never attended a school, not even for a day. And yet he influenced the lives of millions of people for God through his powerful preaching. He was converted in 1876, and the next year invited by General William Booth of the Salvation Army to join him in evangelistic work. He worked for them until 1882, and he began ministering as an itinerant evangelist, working with a variety of organizations all over the world, but particularly in Britain and in America. Gypsy was zealous and a successful evangelist, and his ministry experienced great revival power. Now, when he was first saved, he became really anxious for the conversion of his uncle. He was reluctant, however, to witness to him because it wasn't considered proper among the gypsies for the children to address the elders on matters of religion. So the boy just prayed and prayed and waited for God to open the way. One day, his uncle noticed a hole in the little lad's trousers and asked, "Rodney, how is it that you've worn out the knees of your trousers more quickly than the other boys?" "I've worn them out praying that the Lord would make you a Christian, uncle," he replied, and he burst into tears. His uncle didn't utter a word, but he put his arm around his young nephew and drew him close. And it wasn't long until after that, both were found bending the knee and praying to their Savior. It's a beautiful story, and it's a story that illuminates our text. You see, Solomon said there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. More than 75% of our communication between people is talk. And sometimes that talk is part of body language too. So speaking is a large part of living. And it's true that We've heard some people described as all talk and no action. What is then overlooked is that for many of us, talk is our livelihood. That speaking is how we communicate what is really important. And I don't think we can overestimate that. But the disciplined man of God is someone who observes that there is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. And again, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart, and that one's religion is useless. James 1:26. With such weighty words, let's think seriously about the ministry of the tongue. Think about that. Sometimes I think it's cowardly to speak, and sometimes it's cowardly to keep silent. In the Bible, the great test of a man's character is his tongue. The tongue came to its right place only within the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he never spoke from himself. He spoke from the wisdom of God. He was God incarnate. And yet he said, "The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but from my relationship with the Father." We are either too hasty or too busy, too slow. Sometimes we don't speak at all when we should be speaking. Sometimes we speak when we're in the wrong mood. The thing that makes us speak sometimes is a lust to vindicate ourselves, to defend ourselves. But how different it was with our Lord Jesus Christ. He who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You see, he had the right example for self-vindication. It's a spirit that makes you say, "I'll make him smart for saying that about me." But that spirit was not found in Jesus Christ. One of the greatest achievements of Christian discipline is know when to keep silent and when to speak. And this involves the power of controlled speech. And that power is not found in ourselves. That's why the Bible speaks of the tongue as such an untamed member. The scriptures state categorically that no man can tame the tongue. It goes without saying that the power of controlled speech must be supernatural. And thank God. Thank God that the Christian can know the secret of that. When Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives, he can control our tongue by first controlling our thoughts and our tempers. The Apostle Paul speaks of controlled thoughts when he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." This means, of course, that Jesus must have sovereign control of all that feeds our thought life. What we take in terms of reading, of watching, and the things we contemplate in terms of speaking and acting, they control the thoughts that go into our mind. But thank God, he has an answer to that problem. He has told us in his word that we need to guard our minds, our thoughts, our mouths. The Bible tells us one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Galatians 5:22 and 23 talk about this. I can personally testify to the power of uncontrolled speech. Time and again, before Christ, I had reacted and erupted like a volcano. But thanks to the Holy Spirit, I have gained self-control over my speech. Will any of us have perfect speech? No, only one did. But the Bible tells us that we can follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ and set that guard over our mouth, watch over the door of our lips. But then we have to think about, and I'm way off on these slides somehow, the purpose of having controlled speech. See, if we reflect for a minute, and I think any thoughtful person can think about the fact that the statement we heard when we were children, silence is golden, that I can say without reservation, some of the most precious experiences in my life have been times when the Spirit said, just back off and listen. You don't need to speak. You don't need to defend. You don't need to argue. The Spirit has stilled that angry spirit and prompted me then to speak in love. And that in itself is of such a blessing. As I see it, there's a twofold purpose in silence. There's two kinds of silence. There's a reverential silence. Oh, it's already there. And that's silence before God. I love that God said, be still and know that I am God. Talked in Sunday school this morning about how do we listen to God if we're the ones doing all the talking. Habakkuk reminds us that the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be kept silent before him in Habakkuk 2:20. David said, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Psalm 4:4. The psalmist here looked back on the troubles of the time that were seemingly unbearable. Some feel that that's the conditions we're moving into now. But that those troubles left him a bigger man with a richer soul and a finer faith because he was silent and listened to God. There's also a preferential silence that we need to observe. Preferential silence is silence in encounters of life, response to those encounters. Okay. We're living in a day of emphasized humanism, and everything seems to be made public. I've noticed a lot of the posts on Facebook and these other social medias have a lot of political rhetoric. That's filled with, as Ron spoke earlier in his prayer, hatred and bitterness. James had all that in mind. He said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James 1:19. There are times, even in our homes, we need to be silent. We've all lived long enough that we know relationships can be strained and we can speak things in anger. We regret it. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Without God, without Christ, without hope, many a family has experienced tragedy, ended in divorce, because of angry, insensitive words. Angry words lead to broken homes, broken families. But it's amazing how a gentle answer can cool tempers, can calm situations. Sometimes if we back off and are silent for a little bit, it gives us an opportunity to clarify the situation, to restore some common sense in how we might answer. Paul tells us that a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all in 2 Timothy 2:24. Relationships that are sad often call for times of silence. When we pass through those valleys of sorrows like Job did, when his friends and no one spoke a word to him because they could see that his grief was great, sometimes we need to do that. As a pastor, I can identify with this a lot. Often I've gone to a funeral or to a home to be with friends or relatives and with whom grief has recently come. And at those times, sincere words of comfort and consolation or just being there is all it takes to give people comfort and hope. Even sweet relationships sometimes call for silence. I love the words in the Song of Solomon where the young maiden reveals that she sat under the shadow of her beloved with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to her taste. I mean, the pinnacle of true friendship is that relationship between men and women. I mean, Joy and I have taken time, we've had times where we've sat on a deck or somewhere and watched a glorious summer's evening or a sunset, and we didn't need to talk. We just sat and basked in God's beautiful creation. We've had times driving through the countryside. We drove around a lot and took a lot of photographs all over the country, and we'd be driving along and the scenery, God's creation was so beautiful that we just sat and hardly spoke a word, sometimes for almost hours. There are times in this world we need to be silent. There are times that we need to just stop, listen to God. James tells us the tongue can bless people like a fountain. John tells us in 7:38 that out of the heart will flow rivers of living water. That kind of speech that flows from those rivers is sweet and gentle and encouraging. In the times that we're in, a lot of us are stressed. A lot of us are concerned. Things that are happening in our culture, in our world. And in some measure, I think that affects how we talk to people. That anxiety that we feel affects how we communicate. But trusting in God, knowing that He is on the throne, He is in control, He has a plan, should help our speech to build other people up, not tear down. There was a story about a young man who had cancer of the tongue, and only by removing his tongue could his life be saved. Before the operation, the doctor said to him, "Is there anything that you want to say? If so, say it now, for they might be your last words, the last words you'll ever speak." After thinking for a minute, the young man exclaimed, "Thank God for Jesus Christ." Wow. That's some pretty lovely last words. You see, remember, we communicate either by silence or by speech. Oh, that these tongues of ours would bring praise and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think on these things before you speak. Is this something Jesus would say? In our humanness, sometimes we speak too quickly. We need to just back off and understand there is a time to speak and there's a time for silence.